Yes. Hello. My name is, as said, Hans Ståhl. I'm sitting here with Gunilla and Anders, and we're going to talk about our Q3 result. To actually start with the page three.
Five.
Five. Yes, we can see that. It's with a great happiness I would present these numbers where we had a growth in Swedish crowns with 23% for Q3 compared with last year. If you measure that in the US dollar, it's slightly less due to the exchange rate, so that's in 12%. Anyway, it's the good numbers. Also if we focus on the EBITA result, Swedish crowns is 37%, which is fantastic numbers. We are extremely happy about this. Also the EBITA margin has gone up with 1.1 percentage units. If we look for the period January to September, we also have a growth with 13% in measuring in Swedish crowns and 14% measuring in US dollars. Also if we take the profit, it's +6%. Again, it's extremely good numbers. We look at the margin, it is -0.6%. If we look at the page seven with our segments, one could say that Europe is growing in a very healthy way. I think that's mainly what we could say there. To the next page, highlights during the Q3 is, of course, that we had a strong growth and order intake in all segments. We have a much stronger result. Also what we are also doing right now, we're starting up, setting up a company in Malaysia, and we have a recruitment process for an MD there. Also what we normally, if we look at the next quarter, that is seasonally much weaker, not much weaker, but it's slightly weaker than Q3. We have seen that also it's a little bit lower order intake. A little bit about NCAB. If you look at page 10, we are 15 companies around the world, and we're selling our products in 45 markets, and we are 367 specialists or employees, but we prefer to call ourselves specialists. We have 18 main factories, whereof 12 of them is in China. Our mission is basically for demanding customers. We like customers putting a lot of demands on us. Of course, zero defects, which is crucial in this business. Our vision is also to become the number one PCB producer wherever we are. Meaning that we are aiming at becoming the biggest on each market where we have representatives. The question that is very relevant, why is printed circuit board so critical? That is, we have tried to explain in this graph, it's like when you make this printed circuit boards, when you mount the components, the circuit boards stands for about 7% of the total cost. When you put it in the end product, it's only 0.5%-2%. If something goes wrong, it's 50% of the cases is actually the PCBA, the assembly printed circuit board. If something goes wrong with the circuit board, the cost is huge to make a recall from the market. It's a small component that really could make high costs if in some way gets wrong in the end product. Why do we exist? What role do we fill? We have to go back to the year 2000, where a lot of production still were in Europe and the USA. Basically all that production has moved, at least 70% has moved away from the Western Hemisphere to predominantly China. The customers are still in these countries, like in Europe and USA, so they need then a partner, and that's where NCAB came and took that role to supply those boards. 97% of our revenue comes from factories in China. Our customers loves us, and that is because we are so integrated today with the factories and the customers, and basically the customers can get all type of board from us. The reason for that is that we have a huge purchasing power, and therefore we are very strong at each factory, and also we focus on quality. Of course, knowledge and support. We give a lot of technical knowledge to our customers, so that gives a much lower total cost for the customers. Our journey, the company was founded back in 1993 in Sweden by three gentlemen that all have been producing circuit boards and saw the agony in producing by themselves, and they came up with this idea to do some trading. As Sweden is a small country, we're very quick, went out to go to the Scandinavia first, and then we opened up offices, own companies in basically Europe. Big step was also 2012 when we acquired two companies in the U.S. Then in 2015, we started in Italy. Now the latest startup is actually in Malaysia. One could see the growth also. We have since the past 10 years, we have grown with an average 16%. We had a dip in 2009, which didn't affect our actually EBITDA margin that much. We are also the biggest supplier of circuit boards with outsourced production in the world. But we do have competitors, and I would say the strongest competitors is Fine Line. It's a German-Israeli company owned by a Chinese factory. But they're very good also. We have some at CML, Germany, focused on automotive. ICAP is basically running the same business as we are. Then there is a long tail of smaller trading companies around the world. Customer concentration. Actually, we have the two top customers stands for 11% of our revenue. So we think that we are running very safe business in that respect. The top 50 customers is 50% of our revenue. Today we have 1,650 customers.
Okay, for some financials, Anders here. On page 18, we are happy to see that we can continue our growth path. Last 12 months amounted to over 1.5 million Swedish crowns. We also have rather stable but slowly increasing margin. I think here it's notable to say that we are both buying and selling mostly in U.S. dollars. Even if we have a positive impact on the growth from U.S. dollar, we still keep the same margin, because we have the same currency in buying and selling. Next page, we can see the revenue for the quarter increased by 23%, which of course we're very happy for. Maybe it's more important to measure the organic growth in U.S. dollars since most of our products are priced or invoiced in U.S. dollars. Still we have 12% growth in U.S. dollar, which is also good and better than our financial targets. Order intake increased 21% in SEK and 9% in U.S. dollar. As Hans said, we could see a little bit slower growth rate in the end of the quarter, but still we're very happy to reach 59% for that third quarter. We see a rather even increase in demand from all markets, so that's also positive. Next page. Profit-wise, we did a very strong quarter, last quarter. We did that due to good revenue, of course, and also increasing gross margin. It's also important to note that we did not have any adjustments this quarter. As you know, we had some adjustments due to the listing process the previous quarters, but this one is without adjustments. It's good results from almost all regions or segments, so that's good. We are reached about 10% for the quarter. Going into the different segments, if we start focus on the Nordic segment, here we are in a mature market. Our focus in Nordic is mainly to have a secure and good profit. We're not that much looking into growth. However, we did a good growth number in Q3, actually over 17%, roughly half due to the exchange rate for US dollar, and the rest is organic. Typically, third quarter in Nordic is a little bit weaker due to the vacation period. As you can see that July, August is also lower revenue. We have a little bit lower revenue than second quarter, but still a very healthy and good profitability. Going to Europe, where much higher focus on growth. In these markets, we still have rather low market share, and we have a lot of more or less new open markets. Focus here is to recruit people, try to take on more customers, and to secure good growth. That typically has some impact on the costs and the EBITA. That's the reason why we have lower EBITA in Europe than in the Nordic. Still, we had a very healthy result for Europe this quarter. In Italy, where we opened up business 2 years ago, we still see very positive growth, and we have added on a lot of more employees. We now have about 10 people in Italy. Still making losses, but anyway, we see good potential in Italy market. We also opened up a new sales office in Stuttgart area. We have now 3 sales offices in Germany to support the customers in a better way. USA, we show the growth in SEK, but measured in US dollar, it was a little bit below last year, but on a rather stable level. Most important activities in U.S. is the new trade tariffs. From end of September, we now have 10% tariffs on all printed circuit boards imported to USA. This will not have any impact on our revenue since it is as a tax, and we will just transfer that one to our customers. So far, we don't see any really effect, so it's difficult to measure what effect it will have. Of course, there are also discussions of increasing this to 25% from 1st of January. Once again, this will not have any impact on revenue. We just would like to transfer this forward to our customers. East, which consists of our business in China and in Russia, also showed a very positive growth, 30% this quarter. We have a very good market right now in Russia, and we also are growing a lot in our Chinese operation. In China, we are working both towards European customers with production in China and also see a very healthy growth to local Chinese EMS companies, which is really great actually. That also proves that our business concept works in the market where all the factories are. In the East segment, we're also right now setting up an office in Malaysia. We are in the final stage of the recruitment process, so we will have that in place before year-end. Margin-wise, we land on about the same, slightly below last year, but anyway, close to 11% EBITA margins. We have very healthy financials or a strong balance sheet. Return on equity in this quarter ended up 32%. Our net debt is versus EBITDA 0.2. Our net debt is almost gone actually. Also rather good solvency. As you can see, working capital is below 10% of our revenue last 12 months. We do not have any investments in any factories or machines, et cetera. The most in our balance sheet is some inventory and trade receivables. We are able to grow the business without very much cash, which is good. To summarize some key takeaways from this report, then we are very happy for strong sales, strong increase in revenue, and also the good results that has created by this, especially to increase margin. We're looking very much forward to our expansion in the Malaysian market. We see a high increased demand for high mix low volume products, mainly for the domestic market in Malaysia. As I said before, normally we have some seasonality with a little bit weaker revenue in fourth quarter. That's mainly due to that no customers would like to have deliveries last 2 weeks in December. So typically we have a weak December and a very strong invoicing in January. So normally invoicing is lower in fourth quarter. I think revenue-wise it will be roughly the same as last year. But last year's profit was much lower than normally, so we don't expect the drop as much as it did last year. And finally, we are having some good confidence in our financial targets. Future and growth opportunities. Of course, we have four cornerstones in our growth plans going forward. Increased market share, mainly in Europe, USA, and East. Most countries in Europe, we have less than 1% market share. So, of course, here we're really working on taking on more people, taking on new customers, and increase our market share. Next one is ensure profitability from existing customers. And that's, of course, the way to try to increase margins for customers we've worked with for a long time. Penetrate the customers even better, and that get close relationship with the customer, and that will gain more business and so on for those customers. Expand geographically, as we're doing in Malaysia right now, setting up a new office, and of course there will be more areas where we in the future will set up new offices and sell our products. And then also consolidation on the market. We do see a lot of potential in acquisitions. There are many small companies, and we believe that the size will become more and more important, so there will be an opportunity consolidation in the market, and of course we will take our place there and look into more acquisitions. Finally, I have to repeat our financial targets. Our organic growth, 8%, and we will have an EBITA of 8%. And by the EBITA target of 8%, we are sure that we can continue to recruit people to secure the good organic growth. Net debt versus EBITDA should not be more than 2x. Right now we are 0.2, so we have a good headroom there. And we expect to have a dividend of 15 cash flow or at least 50% of net profit.
So I think we are ready to take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Robert Wedin from Carnegie. Please go ahead.
Hi. A couple of questions, if I may. So first, you had this comment about seasonality in Q4, that typically it's a bit weaker. Did you, on sales, did you say that you expect a similar drop seasonally as last year or as normal? Or what was the comment about sales and seasonality in Q4?
Yeah, probably. So, I mean, there are typically a lower revenue fourth quarter compared to third quarter, and I think we can expect about the same drop as last year in percentage.
Okay, perfect. And then you mentioned that there were some sort of negatives in Q4 in 2017. I think maybe margins were low in a couple of the business areas. Would you be able to sort of quantify how big any negative impact those sort of one-off type items were?
Ooh, I don't have that exactly in my head. I think we know that we have some margin problems in some areas and some corrections last quarter. Typically the EBITA margin will be lower in fourth quarter, but not as low as it was in 2017. We don't see that signs right now at least.
Okay, very good. On this U.S. tariffs, the 10% now, and if nothing happens, I guess the 25% at the turn of the year.
Yep.
They become a bit of a working capital headache, don't they, that you have to pay these up?
Yeah, correct.
Do you expect to sort of recoup anything of that from either customers or suppliers, or do you this working capital, or do you sort of expect that maybe, you know, you'll have to pay 25% to sales in some time for one-off working capital investment?
Yeah, I think, of course, we have to pay the tariffs when we import the goods into U.S. When we get paid from the customers, when we invoice the customers, so it'll be a small time difference. Typically, we don't have very much in inventory, and we have payment terms in USA are 30-45 days. It will have a small impact, not very much. Consider that USA stands for 20-25% of our group revenue. I don't think it will have a major impact. It will not have a big impact on our working capital, but of course, a small impact it will have that. You can also say that it could be more difficult for many smaller American trading companies. There might be opportunities in that aspect because they might suffer more from the working capital issue than we ever do.
Of course, yeah. Otherwise it will be sort of a 25% hit on call it the average receivables that you might have there.
Yeah, could be, yes.
Okay, cool. FX, I mean, in the first half of the year, you had this sort of US dollar headwind. Now the US dollar was a positive. On the other hand, in Swedish krona, the euro was a negative. Would you say that, or what would you say on the sort of net FX impact on say, EBIT margins in Q3? Would you say it's negative, positive, or would you care to quantify?
You mean from a profit point of view or from a revenue point of view?
From a profit or EBIT margin point of view.
Of course, it will be a small positive effect. But we do not have very much costs in Swedish krona. The most cost we have is in euro, and I think the USD/euro have been rather stable during the third quarter. It's not a very big difference. Of course, you can say that we mainly have a positive effect on the revenue, and on the gross profit measure in SEK, but then we have almost all our costs in US dollar or in euro, so they have been rather stable. Of course, we gain a little bit on the cost we have in Swedish krona, but that's a small part.
Okay. Yeah. It's not a major sort of driver of this improvement in the EBIT margin in the quarter?
No, it's not this year. It had a big impact on the revenue, but not very much on the EBITA.
Yes, that would be my sort of final question on the EBITA margins in Europe. You know, we've seen very strong organic sales growth and continued in Q3 with, I think it was 19% in US dollar terms.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you have these investments into Italy and elsewhere burdening margins, but still margins were up a percentage point or something in Q3. I presume, you know, and Italy was still loss-making. The rest of the business must be doing very well, or was there some kind of sort of positive one-off in Europe, or have you turned that around now that these investments cost less than what the business is improving basically?
I think mainly it's that we have been able to improve our gross margin in both Germany and U.K., and that the two biggest markets for us in Europe, and that has sort of the main reason why we increased the EBITA margin as well. I think we are sort of penetrating the customers better and better, and working very seriously with trying to raise the margin, and we have been succeeding, and that's had an effect.
Okay, that sounds like a sort of more lasting effect that you're getting gross margins up because the customer relationships are mature.
Yeah.
All Okay, very positive. Thanks.
Just as a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. There will just be a brief pause while any other questions are being registered. And as there are no further questions, I'll hand back to the speakers.
Okay, so thank you very much. I just want to remind you that the next quarterly report is our full year, which is the 22nd of February. So welcome back. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.